Give me your top three quarterbacks.
Rodgers, one. Uh-huh. Brady, two. Uh-huh. Cam, three. Russell Wilson and Ben Roethlisberger, four and five.
David. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Things are popping here in Studio 66 because we have a lot of sports to talk about here.
Let's sports it up, Shaq.
Obviously, pro football is at the tip of our brains, but also here in October, the best month on the sports calendar, I think, beyond debate at this point.
Not even close, right?
Right. We got the MLB playoffs going, NBA underway. Of course, the puck has been dropped for a few weeks now, so let's try to get to all of it. And you heard his voice already. Let's start off with him this time around. He is one half of the Game Theory and Money podcast, available on NFL Media. Track it down, nfl.com/podcasts, and on iTunes or however you choose to consume your podcast. Also one half of the finest radio show in all the land, PMS Petros and Money, here in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio. Track it down. And on top of all that, he is the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers on a mini roll here. We're going to talk about whether or not they can continue said role. Let's say hello to him. It's Matt Money Smith. That's enough. We have too much to get to. I'm not even going to hear a word.
A massive head staring down on top of you, Sheck.
Now, some people, some members of the Sheck Republic are across that I keep cutting the team short, but what am I to
great
do? I've got a lot of things. I've got a lot of things
we can do in the offseason. We're good.
Shout out to the one-man house band, Dick Banks there. Ooh, a couple things. Before we get too much further, I do want to make some promotions here. NFL Pick'em Saturday.
Woo-hoo!
Don't miss this now. Don't miss it.
Does he get it right? Here it is.
By the way, can I tell you something? I have to say, it's a ratings hit. You know, listen, it's not
a juggernaut.
It's not getting like it's not like ABC Scandal kind of numbers, but it is. It is nevertheless, relatively speaking,
we're not distributed in as many homes as ABC is.
I'm gonna get sports TV ratings on the
do
line.
It.
Feel
do
free,
it.
Friend.
Colin Cowherd, we're gonna have a freaking ratings conversation now for our listeners.
I just wanted to let you know that you want to be
hey,
in on what the cool
you
kids
do,
are doing.
You do good TV. Congratulations.
The kids are doing – the kids are loving
people
it.
People love NFL physical challenges. Them. People it's love us, physical challenges.
We pick all the games. We do physical challenges. It's just positively delightful stuff. These two are in there as well as around the NFL, Move the Sticks and beyond. Track it down. It's 9 a.m.
9 a.m. Eastern,
2 p.m. Eastern,
well done.
And 11 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, and then on Sunday for the early birds
or
the late owls or the night owls at 3 or at 6 a.m. or 3 a.m. Pacific time.
Right.
So make sure you track that down. Also, Gangbusters podcast once again. I really have to say, now that I'm patting myself on the back, the DDFP on a real roll of late, thanks in part to the people joining us in 66 right now. Gangbusters stuff, delightful
only
football.
Only a small part, Dave.
Well, you're right. I know. I just want to be.
Mostly you.
I want to be. Yeah, I mean, yeah, right. That's right.
Just because thanks. We're in your presence, don't feel the need to say it. You don't have to. It's okay.
I mean, I've been terrific. But you know what? Some other people have been pretty good, too. A lot of feedback. Remarkable feedback when Matt Money Smith went in senselessly on poor New York
yes,
City
it was all,
sports.
It was all
oh, I loved
me.
It.
Eddie Spaghetti. You know, he turned
it was all me.
Yeah, Spider Spaghetti turned him into. Matt Money Smith just senselessly attacking him.
But it worked.
Who's laughing now? Who's
it
laughing
worked.
Now, jerk face?
I feel
oh, who's
like
laughing now with a Yanks up 3-2? Who's laughing now, Sheck?
It
worked.
Yeah, Ty Domi knew how to drop the hammer, too. Boom. Sit down. Good night, friend. Yeah, listen, it was terrible what Money did to
it sure was,
Spaghetti.
Wasn't it?
It's the same thing. Like, Money all of a sudden, oh, I'm the voice of the Chargers. I guess that gives me the right to just attack everybody behind the glass on the DDFP. He goes after Eddie Spaghetti after he went after MVP a couple of weeks before. I feel like I owe you guys behind the glass an apology. I'm just
for
one
me?
Man.
Are you speaking for me?
I'm just one man.
It sounds like you're apologizing for me.
No, I apologize because my name is on the show, and I'm embarrassed by the way Matt Money Smith is behaved
now I'm
himself.
Belittled. Now I'm belittled.
The way he's behaved himself towards my colleagues. colleagues. I find it untowards, to say the least. Now, let's say hello to another person here.
Oh,
she's the other half of Game Theory and Money. Of course, you see her on Good Morning. I mean, on what's it called again?
Good Morning Football?
Nope, not on Good Morning Football.
Good Day Football.
Game Day Morning. Game Day Morning.
That's what it's called.
GDM.
Also on the Thursday Night Football pregame preview show. What's that called? TNF, run-up show. Here she is, everybody. Mama Freeland's
favorite
girl, Cindy Freeland. Enough. How are you, Cindy?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Dave?
I'm well. Better for your
I'll tell you who else
here.
Is well. I'm well. We're up 3-2.
I'll tell you who else. David Wells. He threw a perfect game in Yankee Stadium, the greatest place you could ever be, any day, night, or week, 24-7, 365, boom, next story. Okay, all the way across the Atlantic Ocean from us. In London,
or you could take
UK.
The Pacific and just go the other way.
That's right.
Well, that's true. You could, yeah. People always say across the Atlantic, but technically,
you
you're
could
right,
go
Cindy.
The Pacific too. We're on the West Coast.
Your thing is math, but
also good at geography.
You also know you're global.
I got freaking Amerigo Vespucci next to me here. Way to go!
All the way around. If you want to see more of the big blue marble.
Wait, round? I thought it was flat.
Okay, Kyrie.
Well, you would know, Hank.
We have a lot to talk about. Here he is, our resident Miami Dolphins fan over in London for this weekend's tilt between the Cardinals and Rams. Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
Enough.
I should have let that one go, but I don't know. It's I wonder if you run into Daniel Craig or Pierce Brosnan over there in London, Handsome. Do people like, oh, another James Bond, like another one in the
long
lineage? I would
assume so, right?
Yeah. Do you tell war stories?
Yeah, that's what Dan Craig, when I ran into him in a pub last night, that's what he said.
Tim Dalton.
I was with Danny last
Tim
night.
Tim Dalton. Danny Craig.
Yeah.
I don't care what the media says. You're the greatest Bond ever, my sweet son.
Why is she on?
Huh?
Why didn't we get his mom?
I know. Where is Handsome's mom already?
I thought that was her right now.
He's more handsome than Pierce Brosnan and Daniel Craig put together. Brilliant.
It's true.
Handsome,
thanks,
are you?
Mom.
As always, providing us as we play Where in the World is Handsome Hank. He's in London again.
Oh, he's not in a foam finger factory?
No one introduces us to his native soil better than Handsome Hank introduces us to his. Look at that. Once again, from London, showing off the sights to us. Behind him, what appears to be a styrofoam wall filled with fingers. What is that, Bob?
Foam fingers.
Where are you?
Everyone, I'm in the NFL's office in London, and one of the rooms, the NFL fans in the UK particularly enjoy the foam finger.
Who doesn't?
And so this is a room dedicated to foam fingers.
That's a big thing with the...
Or it's his mom's basement.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's his mom's basement.
Hanson, pull back the curtain for your mates!
Are those actual...
Back on the colony! Let them know the truth!
Are those actual foam fingers from actual games? Like, do they do commemorative foam fingers for all the football games in London or no? Do they say to bring your own?
I think there may have been foam fingers for at least one of the London games. No, these ones have facts written on about the NFL in the UK. So the ones behind me, the green one says, you can see all 32 team jerseys at any NFL London game.
That's accurate. Yeah, the
one
fans wear their favorite
that
team.
Asks the question, which One Directioner, which I guess is someone from One Direction, has a Green Bay Packers tattoo? I don't know the answer to that.
It's the Nigel guy.
Nigel.
Is there a Nigel?
Yeah,
Nigel.
Yep.
Nigel sure was your favorite mate of yours when you were in secondary school.
Story of my life. He's right there, right over his nipple.
Handsome. let's get to some business here. You know what? I like to jag around as much as the next guy.
But he's got drinking to do. He's got warm beer to consume.
Exactly.
Do they pour?
Yeah,
do they
yeah,
pour?
Yeah, my beer's getting warmer.
I would think that that the NFL offices do have a Guinness draft, right? They must.
There is no tap here.
Wow, that's disappointing.
That's too
I'd
bad.
I'd like to think there were.
What is the official beer of London? If you had to say there was one beer that, like we would say here, it's probably Budweiser or Bud Light is the, sadly, that's, well, not sadly, but I mean, that's just the reality. It's the most consumed beer in America, right? So
yeah, well, you know what? I don't think that's actually true anymore.
Really?
I don't think, but I might
it's
be
It's not
wrong.
Bud Light? I thought it was
I don't
Bud
know.
Light.
I think Bud Light
Yeah,
is,
Bud Light,
sorry,
like
not
by,
not Budweiser.
Yeah. So what
oh,
would
we're
that,
getting skinnier here in America.
Yeah, what would that
Less
beer
Bud
be
heavy.
In London?
I'm going to guess. Wait, let's take a guess. Did you say handsome? Did you just answer?
He didn't say it.
No, oh, okay. I didn't answer yet.
I'm going to guess. Do you have a guess, Money?
I don't.
I'm going with harp. Old English.
See, I don't think they would do harp and bass anymore. I think that those days are long gone.
Really?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Heineken.
I'm going to guess Sam Adams.
No, wait a second. The most consumed
like
beer in London. I bet you the most.
I had to take the shot.
The most consumed beer in England really must be Guinness.
It's got to be.
If it's based on number
no.
of.
It's not.
No?
Just because
Guinness
of the Irish.
Irish.
No.
Guinness is Irish.
I know it is.
But
Guinness
figured.
Is Irish.
Yeah, so, but that's like saying we're Canadian.
Oh, is it Smithix? Is it Smithix?
Smittix.
Smittix.
I think it will be. I don't know the answer. I think it will be.
I wish everyone saw that.
Probably be a European one. Like it might be Stella Artois or something like that. Would be the most consumed beer.
Really?
But if you're saying like, what is the beer that represents London? There's a nice ale called London Pride, which is delicious, and that you find that in almost every pub in London.
Why don't you bring us?
And that's the London.
Does it taste like every?
It doesn't travel well. It doesn't travel.
Ah, it doesn't, huh?
You got to pour it.
Does everything kind of taste like Heineken? You know, is like every Pilsner just kind of the same over there? I noticed that when I traveled. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this tastes a lot like Heineken. That's pretty much what we got going.
All right.
Yeah, those don't have much of a taste.
Let's do it then. Let's do something. Let's do some important business.
Before we let them go?
Let's start the red challenge flag a little bit early this week and do the game that Handsome is there to behold with his mates, the Cardinals. And the Rams. You don't have a write-up on this one, Emma VP, do you? No? Okay, no TV Guide preview over there. Channel 4 doesn't pick up our stuff over there.
Okay.
Or BB, I don't know. That's the only BBC and Channel 4. Those are your two
channels. Sky, right?
So, you have more channels now?
I think they got the Sky Sports.
There's a few more channels, but you've covered most of them.
I'm ready, by the way, Handsome, if you want to put a good word for me with Sky Sports. I see you putting everybody else.
They would love to have you on there, I'm sure.
I know.
The Around the NFL there. Guys are on every week.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. You know.
Really?
Were they afraid to ask? I know.
Those guys are on? And Sheck's not?
I mean, I don't know why they. I don't know why the British guys didn't want Sheck on there.
England, let me tell you about my Patriots.
Rosie.
Yeah, that's
you guys.
Hey, I don't know. Never been across the sea, but I'd love to get there someday. Meantime, I'll hang out here at Satrials and eat another Italian beef. Boom, Hanzeus.
All right. Hey, I'm Chris Wesley. This is no Tybee Island. I'll be here on the UK island, but I like
well
Island Tybee. All right, I can't do a Sessler. Let's get to it. Here we go.
Sessler to me, this is boy, and Sess knows
see that. See if you can do it.
What? He speaks in Morse code?
Just because Sess is just kind of your down-the-middle, nondescript voice, whereas Hanzus has got that, here I am in a room full of heroes. Let's get it rolling. And then, you know.
Rosie I don't make fun of my coworkers because
with your
I'm
rosy
so nice.
Voice, you know, and then there's Sess. Yeah, just,
I don't know. Browns. Belichick will figure out the defense by November. Not a big deal. I don't know. Let's look at my QB index. I don't know.
And then every now and then, becomes. But ultimately, he gets angry every episode.
Sessler to me is much more of a like a Kerouac. Like he issues these turns of phrase that are golden and distinctive. And I like his. I feel like it's a more reflective kind of tone of voice that he takes. I've got to say this to you, Dan. That kind of thing, you know.
You're right.
Some whimsy.
I'm just
some
being
whimsy
mean.
In there.
You're more accurate. I'm being mean.
All right.
That's all.
Let's do it. Red
you're
challenge flag.
Red challenge flag picks.
Hey,
another one.
Woo.
Ooh.
I
always forget what I'm supposed to say.
Yes, you do. You know why? Because you didn't really mean to say it. You were put on the spot in the moment.
Funny.
Do we want Handsome to choose here? Why don't you choose?
You want me to make the choice? Yeah, so he can throw a flag.
You.
All right. Hold on. Let me settle in case you have to let me know if you want to throw the flag. All right, Hank? So I'm going to settle in underneath
you. Yeah.
Hold on.
Here we go. Red challenge flag pick, London edition. Cardinals, Rams, Damashek. Choose. Damashek chooses the Arizona Cardinals.
What?
Anybody want to throw the challenge flag?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So I don't have any hands, so I'm going to spit one at you.
I just hit you right in the nose. I hit you right in the nose with my challenge.
Thank you very much.
All right, handsome. The floor is yours. Why are the Rams going to win this game?
The Rams are going to win this game because the Rams, I think they're going to – last week we saw the Cardinals. They played really well. They were able to score a bunch of points on offense. But I think the Rams are going to be able to keep them off the field, keep that dangerous Adrian Peterson-led offense off the field by using their own running back, Todd Gurley, to eat up some clock and to get them some points.
Money, you didn't weigh in on this game. How say you?
Here's I'm going to step aside from the battlefield, the field of play, the gridiron, if you will, and think about the particulars.
Between the lines.
The logistics.
Pater.
Of what we're looking at in this game, okay? Hank can attest, as a man who has now been in London for the second time, the older you get, the more unforgiving that flight is. It will wreak havoc on your body. And you got the oldest team in the NFL coming all the way from the West Coast. They did not have an East Coast game last week. They were playing at their home stadium. They got to take that, whatever, 10-hour, 12-hour flight to London. Those old bones are going to be creaky. And as we heard before we get on the air, you know, when you're a young guy and you're not tied to anything, you're wide-eyed, you're like, hey, man, we're gonna hit the town. We're going to enjoy this London thing. That's the Rams, the third youngest team in the NFL. The old guys, I miss my house. I miss my dog. I miss my backyard whirlpool, my barbecue. This London stuff's for the birds, pardon the pun. That's why the Rams are going to win. It's all in the mindset.
Boy, you've really turned me around on that.
That's a great point. The Cardinals actually got in here on Tuesday. Yeah, they've been here all week. So the jet lag for them, they might be over it, whereas the Rams still haven't got on their flight. They will be here tomorrow morning. It's Thursday now. They'll be here on Friday morning.
But they're young. They're young, and they're young, and they're excited, and they're going to see the sights, and the Cardinals are just going to – they're going to be like Hank. They're going to be in a room with foam fingers on the wall just going, when are we wheels up heading back to the desert? I got to get back to that happy hour where it's 103 out and everybody's smoking on a patio. I miss Arizona.
I mean, this is some keen analysis that's really hard to refute. Cindy Freeland, go ahead.
I think we saw the Adrian Peterson kind of like smoke and mirrors, right? They got it to work. DJ Fluker's back.
It was a fun splash, yes.
It was a fun splash. It's nice to see him again, right? Like Adrian Peterson running really well. But the left side of the line, you got DJ Fluker back. That's a big deal. That left tackle, it's a big upgrade. And if you look at what they've done on first down and their ability to earn 4 more yards on first down this season, they being the Cardinals, they were 30th going into this game. So 30th, that's, you know, third worst in the league at earning 4 or more yards on first down. The left side of the line was where all of the damage, where the majority of the damage was done. So when you see, okay, that's on tape now, they're not going to let that happen. When you have Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers, like, this just not going to be able to, this is not going to be an Adrian Peterson game. My math doesn't think so. I think we saw a nice splash, but that was a defense that was more susceptible to that. Then
I hear your noise, and I certainly don't think Adrian Peterson.
Technically, it was noise.
I do not think Adrian Peterson is going to play that way against Aaron Donald. If you've been watching him, once again, right, the latest and perhaps best example of the lack of need for training camp for high-end players, Aaron Donald, dominant, just dominant week in and week out. I feel like collectively, though, this has nothing to do with what we've seen to this point. It just has to do with me being a snob of not believing in certain teams just yet.
I mean, Goff has not been great the last 2 weeks.
I need a larger body of evidence here before I sign off. And against that secondary, I know Pat Pete's having some physical issues this week. But I do think that defense has better pieces than what they've shown to this point in the season. There's only up to go from where they've been to start the season. And again, this is lame reasoning. It's not reasoning at all. If the Rams win this one, then they're for real. This is a big game for the LA Rams. They win this one. Now it's like, all right, this team might win the division. If they don't, they're right in the mix for the playoffs. They just about had the Seahawks beat 2 weeks ago. It doesn't sound right to me yet. The 2017 Rams are really a viable team to be competing in January.
I didn't get the Sean McVay thing. I poo-pooed that left and right. I talked about him sounding like a Tony Robbins motivational speech. These players aren't going to respect him, and all you hear coming out of there is how much they respect him and how they feel like they're the most
prepared team. I'll eat crow.
I think there's only two players older than him, so it does help that he's on a team that skews
that is young.
A lot younger. So I do think, because I don't disagree with you, I think that if you went went to the Arizona.
If he were on the Cardinals, it would
right.
not fly.
Like I don't know if it would be. Yeah. It have the same.
Oh, by the way, yeah, that's a.
But you've got
that's
Wade as well. You've got Wade. You've got Wade in there. Who's the other end? And of course, right. he gets the respect of everyone on the team.
Right.
Yeah. Well. Well. I mean, you know, on the other hand, on Sunday night, the Cardinals could be boarding the plane, and they could suddenly be, oh, here come the Cardinals all of a sudden, and that could be the storyline. And I do really think that defense, like I say, the absence of Calais Campbell was a major obstacle to overcome. But if you look at what they still have there, that should be a better performing defense over there. True, Cindy, or no?
Yes. True.
You don't buy that? I like the hybrid pieces they have all over the field on defense.
They are with Dale Buchanan and Tyrann Mathieu, and I mean you still have Dansby there. I mean certainly that Chandler Jones, who's been a
that seems like something that'll yes, confuse
every
the
level,
kid.
You
that
have
just
something.
Seems like 16
well,
will be out
yeah.
there. And
see, here's where you hear my hesitation. It's in the O line. The Rams O line is very. I mean they're very very good. They've improved significantly
solid.
This season. So I just don't think that Sean McVay is going to put Jared Goff in a situation to be confused by those different pieces. If you and I see that it's a hybrid and they are showing multiple fronts, there's no way, you know, Sean McVay is missing that. So that's why you hear my hesitation, because they are a good defense, but I'm not entirely sure that, you know, this offense has a lot of different fundamental pieces, including getting those tight end involved, things like that, that are just, you know, kind of a dagger in the...
Well, and conversely, just that, I mean, just, okay, so what's the most, who's the most dominant player on the Rams defense?
Donald.
Okay, and where does he rush from?
Middle.
Okay, so if he's coming right up the gut, what does Carson Palmer now have to do?
He doesn't like that stuff, yeah.
He's got to move. He doesn't get to climb the pocket, and that's where, you know, he's fine evading pressure when it comes from the edges. He can step out, climb that ladder. He can't do that. He's not a guy that's going to be rolling right or rolling left. That's just, you know, not at 37. It doesn't unless he's got a rascal hiding back there that he can hop on and scoot. It ain't going to happen.
I was like, who's a rascal? Like, Andre Alex? Like, who? I was like, who's a rascal?
It would not. I wouldn't intimidate the foes necessarily, but many of those Cardinals could rightly ride a rascal out onto the field. It, right? It would bemuse the opponents, at least. For the first quarter, they'd be like, did you see the old guys
coming
all
out
come
on a rascal?
Like,
right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway, Handsome, you ride a Haskell around because,
Haskell.
As Hold we on. Know, you're already drunk.
A Haskell.
Bid adieu.
Goodbye, Handsome!
You've got some sort of a condition there. You got hands like Donald Trump there, Handsome Hank. All right.
That's no politics, my man.
Small hands creep me
out. No politics. Get off it.
Smell like cabbage.
I didn't know that counted as politics. All right. Handsome, have a grand time over there in your homeland. Enjoy the football game, and then we'll see you next week.
All right, see you guys.
There you go.
See you, Hank.
Handsome, off into the London night. All right, now in 66, just the three of us.
I think he's going to be back
just
with us again next
us.
Week, by the way, from London.
Just
as we hurtle towards a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, which it gets me excited as a fan of sports history, somebody who sort of vibes to those sorts of tentpole events in our sports
wow, that's
fandom life.
Vibes, tentpoles. We're going buzzwords today, huh?
I don't. Is that what those count?
Running up
buzzwords. Anyway, I by the way mentioned that on Twitter on Wednesday night, and Rich Eisen promptly scolded me for apparently cursing his team. Check this.
Who's his team?
Yeah, the Yankees. But
they are.
Check this with the sports gods. I think since I'm a dispassionate viewer, I don't think I have the ability to curse a series.
You don't
right?
have emotional equity.
Right. So therefore I can't curse jinx anything.
Yeah, I think that's
I'm not rooting either way.
I think that's
actually true. That's not true. You totally jinxed it.
Okay. All right. Well, then I have to
ridiculous.
Wear.
Ridiculous.
Sorry, Dodgers fans. I blew it for you. Sorry, Yanks fans.
You're going to make history as the only NL team to lose.
What is the best championship round? And I don't mean championship games, AFC, NFC. I mean championship round, the one for the trophy. What's the greatest rivalry in sports history? Lakers, Celtics.
Lakers, Celtics.
Steelers and Cowboys have played in three Super Bowls. The Yanks and Dodgers have played multiple from Brooklyn and New York days all the way through. The 70s were marked. I don't know if you were.
It's the 70s.
Were you old enough for that money? Did that
no.
did that mean it? The first World Series I remember watching were those Dodgers-Yankees ones, and then they met again in 81.
Yeah, I was not old enough. 81 I remember, but I do not remember.
Steve Howe.
Yes, Steve Howe.
What's your favorite one, Cindy?
Is it bad that my favorite one is like a not a – like
what, Cavs-Golden State? Could be that one.
No. I guess I just
Penn's
think like
Penn's wings.
Well, yeah, Penn's wings. There we go. Done.
Back.
Pens wings. I don't know. I really like the 2004 Pistons and Lakers. But that's
hey, they played twice.
I know that it's not like World Series or whatever, but I mean, it doesn't get much
Wait,
better
they
than
played
Yankees,
three
Red Sox.
Times. That's a good one, actually. The Mad or
Pistons?
Did
no.
No, the Pistons didn't. No, yeah, they didn't beat the Lakers. To
it's
win their
like
title.
To me, nothing's close to Lakers Celtics. It's not even close.
I don't know Yankees Red Sox. I know it's not. I know it's all.
Well,
their
no,
own.
But just championship. Round.
I know, but
championship round.
That's a different kind. Yeah, I'd like.
I
to
guess
get
you could also
out.
Do. You could do Giants and Patriots. Recently, you know.
Dave Lozo floated that one on Twitter when I flew.
Good job, Dave Lozo.
Yeah, Mr. Hockey.
Twins.
All right, let's so what else did we want to talk about here? We talked with Handsome.
What's this spaghetti thing?
Spaghetti has a list here.
Get to me already, would you?
Why am I waiting? I'm from number one.
You know what I did this
I'm
morning?
I'm from the capital of the world. What am I waiting for? Why am I playing second
this
fiddle to Mr. English?
Look at my pecs. I did incline bench this morning. And then I ate a loaf of bread because I burn calories.
No, he eats just pure, like, the egg, you know.
That's
raw
what
eggs.
I do.
I lifted the equivalent of 3 Dave Righetti's this morning. Boom. Ready to roll. Take that, Astros. Spaghetti, what's your list here? The worst things fans can do. What is this?
Me and you were watching the Yankees game, and you made fun of me for throwing my hand up because it was a pop fly, and it was my instinctual reaction.
Pan of corn. There it is.
So get the scene here.
Okay. On TV.
We're sitting there, working at our little computers and so on, and Spaghetti is distracted, of
course,
because his heroes from the Bronx are toiling with the gang from Houston, and someone hits a pop fly on the Stros, and Spaghetti from his desk, from his cubicle, points. I said, "What? I thought something like somebody just hit a home run. I turn around. Oh, did Aaron Judge just? No, wait, it was a pop-up? Yeah, I got to let them know.
Can of corn.
5,000 miles away, Spaghetti's alerting the Yanks.
I got to help my guys. Yeah. It was just that I was locked in, and it was just an instinctual reaction. I felt like my arm could somehow stop that ball from leaving the park.
It was instinctual. I forgot that I wasn't out there on the diamond with my guy, which he's never been.
I love the idea of Spaghetti like buying his tickets to Yankee Stadium. Here's what I like to do. I sit on the foul lines, and if it's one of our guys, I yell at the fans, "Get out of the way! That's a play that needs to get out of the way, everybody up there!" And then if it's the other team, I get in the middle of it all, and I mix it up, and I get my guys an extra out. That's what I do.
Spaghetti tackles fans who are trying to catch a foul ball.
Be honest.
Leave it be!
Have you ever had that?
Brocious would have gotten that one!
Have you ever had that daydream that you saved the Yankees by tackling a fan that would have interfered with a foul ball like Bartman did?
No,
right,
that's
a Cubs thing.
That's like the kind of the origin of this list, because like I don't do anything that's out of ordinary at a game. I think I'm a pretty good fan in the stadium. Only when I'm at my desk, locked into the ALCS.
Well, let me challenge you on that. You don't do anything weird. Have you ever been at a ball game and removed your shirt?
No.
Oh, really? I'm very surprised by that, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
Where'd you go to college, Spaghetti?
BU.
Yeah, I guess maybe not the type of football fans that are
just hockey. Are
really, yeah. Hockey. Oh yeah, never in the arena.
But you know,
Frozen Four, never took the shirt off in there.
No, I'm not.
Beanpot, BC, and B.
Even then,
when
no,
I was there.
Did not okay, remove not. The top. No.
No.
How about that, the top. BU. That's where I went.
I did it. I went there. I'm not sorry. I did it. It was hell to see how the other half lives. I wouldn't say I enjoyed myself. It was a treat to get back to NYC. Boom.
You know what I did? I bearded the lion in its den. That's what I did by going to BU. It's an idiom. Look it up.
Now, Spaghetti, tell us more about the fans
All right,
that
here we
you
go.
Find annoying to see at the ball
yes.
game.
Well, a couple that I've witnessed and that always stuck in my mind, I think the funniest one is the guy who brings on the headphones with the radio to hear the radio call of the football game.
Oh, that was my old man.
And he did that?
Oh, he always had the old school. I don't think even kids would even
transistor
know what that
radio up with the one headphone?
No, he had the old school headphones like
oh,
he was an air traffic
controller. Right, the radio built in.
with the head. Yeah, and it was always weird to me. And we also would bring I haven't really thought about this, Spaghetti. Now that you bring it up, the old man also used to always bring binoculars. And then it was a real treat to get the binoculars.
How far away were you sitting?
We weren't actually in the stadium.
Oh.
No. I don't know. We were in the upper deck, you know.
Got it.
Which is the place to be for football, in my opinion. I don't like to be down low. I like to be up high.
Right, I know.
I bring binoculars, too, but they're called booze-noculars. And you just unscrew one of the eyecaps, and there you go, the sweet syrup down the throat.
Sweet syrup. I like the and by like, I mean I like to condescend to the guy who is a grown-up, you understand. They understand the defense guy. What this guy is, he's a grown man, you understand.
He's got children with him.
And he's saying, okay, so we have tickets to the big game tomorrow, and I want to make my impact as a person in the stands. So let's run over to the Five and Dime and get some cardboard. And then we'll cut it out into one part of it into a big D.
Okay, I'm following.
And then the other half we're going to turn into a fence. This will take, all told, if we paint it and everything, this will take us 90 minutes, 120 minutes of our lives. And now, like every other human being, I'm mortal, and I'm never going to get those 120 minutes back. Now I'm going to carry that into the stadium, and I'm going to show it, even though for 30 years other human beings have already made that little visual pun joke thing about defense. And I'm going to do that, and I hope that other people, in fact, tens of thousands of other people, see me doing that.
And follow my lead. Defense.
Weird move.
Defense, yeah.
Weird.
I see it on your list here, Spaghetti. I'm going to go ahead and take on the face paint. Because this to me is number one, and there is a sizable gap between face paint and everybody else. And here's why. Risk, that's reward.
Right. That's right.
You know, the risk is so high because there is nothing better. There really is nothing. And even it is the team that I am rooting for. If I get to see face paint guy walking out with his head hanging, it is my favorite thing in all of sports fandom. There's
57-year-old Husky guy in his favorite player's jersey, face painted.
Half green, half white, blue, white, whatever it might be.
Yes, walking out, chin leaning at the top of his chest, hopes and dreams dashed, hangover setting in.
You sound like Teddy KGB there. You had it all, right? It is your future right there.
It is. Maybe it makes me a jerk. In fact, I know it does. I am with you 100%.
It's so
nothing
great.
Delights me more in this day and age.
Than sad face paint.
And person. Sad guy face painted in costume leaving the stadium after a loss. I love that.
You love it?
Yes, it makes me laugh very hard.
Inside.
So
I won't do it outwardly to humiliate him, but on the inside, I am laughing.
I walk out of Heinz Field if I see that, like, well,
at least
good to laugh. This is distracting me from my own personal torment right now as I see you, sir.
So for me, this one on here is the over-explainer of rules to significant other.
See that? I can see how that one jumps out at you there, Cynthia.
Why? That one makes me want to poke my eyeballs out. I also think you can extend this to males trying to overexplain everything to females. By virtue of just sitting there, I'm a very, like, I'm pretty quiet fan. I don't, like, yell. I'm not, like, I just kind of, I'm like, oh, like, mm-hmm. I'm engaged, but I'm not, like, a loud fan. And people will be like, hey, just so you know, that's the running back.
Thank you.
And I'll be like, thanks, got it. And they'll
appreciate
be like, hey, when they line up like that, they're going to throw the ball.
Now, wait a second. Actually, you reminded me of the opposite thing, which is, and I experienced this as recently as the AFC title game against the Patriots, January of 2005, 1 degree at kickoff. And the Steelers are down 21-3 at halftime. But this is just the latest example of a lifetime of this happening to me with my sister Amy at games. If somebody has the temerity to be at a Pittsburgh sporting event, but not know something about what's happening out there with our teams. Like, who's that playing right wing for with Lemieux out there? My sister gets disgusted. Like, you don't know Robbie Brown? If you don't know Robbie Brown, then you shouldn't have your ticket. Like, we'll say that. Doesn't mutter it. Says it.
Out loud.
So that they hear it.
Good for her.
2005, January, at halftime.
It.
Everybody is in a foul mood, and not just because of the weather. People shivering. Two yins are seated behind us like, dude, maybe it's time to get Roethlisberger out of there. Put in that they should go to the backup QB because I don't think Roethlisberger has it today. My sister said, maybe you guys should just go home. Maybe you shouldn't stay for the second half.
I need
like,
to
why am I gonna take? Why am I going to take a beating? Why do I have to take the beating
That's
for
so
you?
Good.
I love it.
I hear Spaghetti, do you want to weigh in? This is your list. I don't want to jump you here if you want to share something specific.
No, I'm glad that you guys are taking it and running with it. The one I think that hurts – really badly, and especially
you
this
set
year.
The table like Ricky Henderson used to
don't even know.
Just go.
Ditch.
Speaking of the special syrup, imagine if you're a fan who pays all this money for a ticket, a parking pass, for food at the tailgate, food in the stadium,
stuff's
drinks in the stadium.
Expensive in New York.
And then you're passed out from the alcohol before the opening kickoff or the first pitch.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing worse, and you're spending $300-$400 easily. Totally
drunk guy can't handle his booze.
We once left – I was at a Grateful Dead show in Indianapolis, and Matt Money – Deer Creek. I think you and I stumbled into the fact that you and I both happened to be at that same show. It was like 91, maybe?
I think 90 or 91, didn't decide. I think it was 91. Yes, you're right. It was 91.
Whichever the date was, and it was a glorious day. It was really a heavenly day. But, the guy we were with, we left him in the car for the show.
Perfectly normal. Perfectly normal at that
this
show.
This seems a shame.
Here, I'd like you all to weigh in, and please feel free to judge.
I have to say one more thing. The other guy who spends all that money all the time, everything else, but there are 3 minutes left in the game, and it's a close game. Like, we better beat traffic. What are you doing? Why'd you do all this?
I know.
What was the point of the entire day if you're leaving now? Anyway, go ahead.
So I will not do this, and this goes back to my days when I was traveling a lot, and I would have to entertain clients in various cities, and I would do that by using my corporate card to purchase tickets to athletic events because, hey, why not entertain the client? I'm going to take him to the game in town, and we're going to have a good time together. And unbeknownst to that person, and I don't know why I found this so entertaining, but I did, whenever the timeout came around and the music got on, I would stand up and start shaking it like nobody's to their great horror. It would always entertain me, but I could tell that it was a 50-50 split. Some people in the section were horrified by my actions, and others were like, yeah, look at this stiff white guy trying to dance. This is great. It got to a point once where I was at a dance-off at a Knicks. You went to a Knicks game in Atlanta? I was at a Knicks
game. My beloved Knickerbockers.
And I was dancing my ass off so great that I ended up winning a case of Sprite for everybody in our row. But where do you come out on the fan who, when the music gets going, decides to stand up and start shaking it a little bit?
I am amused by it, if that's what that soul – I live in a free country. I'll do that if you want to do it. Just don't be surprised if I laugh.
Do you like it or do you not like it?
I mean, I'm fine with it. It depends the spirit, and usually I can read people and their intentions pretty well. And so if I read that this is for the sake of mirth,
it's ironic.
Then I'm with you. If you've had a few too many and you want to go up and goof,
why not, right?
Do that as well.
You want to go up and goof.
What I resent is when you expect me to play ball. Don't tell me what I have to do. It's the same thing as, like, remember the Blue Man Group phenomenon? Oh, gotta go.
They terrified me.
Blue Man is so great. It's so much fun. They interact with the audience. Well, listen, I didn't come to see your show so I could be a part of it. Go ahead, do your thing, all right? Do your show. Don't come out to the crowd and make that the big climax of the thing. Oh, they brought me. They grabbed me. Like, if you touch me, it's a felony, Blue Man. Don't get near me. Same thing with the wave guy. Don't give me the stink. I understand it's the greatest achievement of your adult life that you
started the wave.
But that guy makes me feel sad for him and his other achievements or lack thereof. And don't give me the stink eye. Now, the guy who refuses to participate in the wave is a curmudgeon that I also don't care for.
Right.
Listen, we can
I have
go
one
on
that
on.
I need one to bring up because we need to bring a female perspective to
I
this wanna podcast
say this.
Right now.
Do you want to say, I'm going to let you go on this one, Cindy.
Let the lady speak.
Let me speak.
And that's a great one. Is the guy who is the guy who plays hero.
Oh,
the guy who plays hero for all of the female population.
Right. Let the lady walk through. Yeah, you got it. I'll just wait. I'm not going right now. This is my least favorite one.
But let me just say, this is our last one because I feel like Spaghetti has...
And because I'm the most special, so I get to go last.
Spaghetti has brought in a fascinating subject matter that I think we'll not be able to cover in its entirety on this DDFP.
Let's make it a weekly.
Hey, I'm here to help you out. That's what I'm from the capital of the universe. No wonder I came up with a good idea for you. I've been inspired by the all-time greats. Larry Johnson, have you ever seen a four-point play before? Now you did. Take it.
You know who show up once a week? Charles Smith, because he didn't show up every night, you bum.
That may work in some towns, but not in this one. Get out of Manhattan. Who needs you?
Oh, I promised I wasn't going to do it again this week.
You know who doesn't enjoy the New York thing so much? Emma VP.
Oh, really?
Emma VP is like, yeah, move on. It goes on too long. Is it too much, Emma VP?
I believe Cynthia has one more.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. One more, and then we'll pick this up. But I do want to say, hashtag DDFP, worst fans. Let's keep these examples going.
Yeah.
I like these. Go ahead.
Well, especially here in LA, I've been lucky to go to both a Rams and a Chargers game, and I've seen way too much couples, girls, like
in game like, selfies, and you just did the selfie move,
and you're like, stop, like, just what? There's a plenty of stops, like, there's halftime, there's a bajillion stops in the game, chill out. Oh, here's me in the first quarter.
I want to take a picture of you doing that. Don't do this.
There it is.
I got it. Yeah, that's a good one. Don't
fuck
do this,
right?
But it is funny. Why is that a thing with women in the 21st century who take selfies? What the so-called duck lips? What is that?
I honestly don't know.
I do.
What?
I look better with duck lips.
Yeah.
See? I look a lot.
Is that what people think? This is a, like, that's.
That's what I'm told.
One?
They're like, hey, you
I understand if you. I understand because you did the thing where you held the camera up over your head.
Right. Oh, you have to
I
go from high.
Right, because it
always go
your
from
double
high
chin.
Right,
I get that.
Right,
I'm Damashek's vain enough to be in on that trip.
Right,
but
no
I
gobbles.
Don't get the duck lip.
Hashtag no gobble.
Yeah, right.
I do it to show off my traps.
Eat your heart out, Jimmy Leyritz. Just kidding with you. I love you, babe.
That's the best.
All right, let's get it over before we make our red challenge flag picks here. One of our favorites to ever shadow Studio 66, James Jones, formerly of the Packers, then he went up to the Raiders. Now he toils here at the NFL. Matter of fact, we got to get him up here for a visit at some
we
point.
We do.
In the Studio 66, because if for no other reason, he's one of the best smelling human beings I've ever been.
What's he smell like?
Haven't sniffed him.
No,
is it a Cologne?
Yeah.
He's got it.
He's got some scent. Oh! Before he goes, I guess what I caught Spaghetti doing yesterday at his cubicle when he wasn't alerting his teammates to pop-ups. At his cubicle in the middle of the day, all of a sudden, like, wait, what is that? What is that? Oh, there's cologne. Spaghetti put cologne on himself at his desk.
No, he did not. What's wrong with a little dash of cool water?
Time out. I did not do that.
Dracar Noir, babe.
Cool water.
That was like a terrible Axe body spray smell. I did not do that. I barely wear cologne. I have it. I told you, Burberry Sport at home. I will bring it in. I will spray the bottle.
Every now and then, it's a squirt of eternity. Nothing wrong with that.
Why would I apply a cologne
I don't know.
At work?
Why would you, Spaghetti?
I'm not trying to impress you or anyone. I don't care what I smell like. That was not me. That was somebody getting their wardrobe done, and they walked by, and it was a breeze of cologne. That was
you know who
mine.
Used to wear Liz Claiborne? Tino Martinez. That's who. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me.
Poor Sully's down in the dumps. Let me give him a little pick-me-up by letting him smell delicious spaghetti. Alone at his cubicle.
Boy.
I don't know if it was
Emma.
For the record, I don't know if it was spaghetti, but I'm pretty sure it was.
I wish it's
Emma VP, do you think it was spaghetti?
No, I don't.
All right. So let's
you know what
get
I
to-
smell like? The Hudson, the trash on 42nd Street, and a urine-stained gutter.
Delicious.
That's what I smell like, and
delicious.
I'm proud of it.
The best smell in the world, the streets of New York City. All right. let's hear from James Jones, who caught up with our sideline reporter, Savvy. Take it away, Savvy.
Okay, so catching up with James Jones here in the green room. You know, he took off the cheetah print shirt that he was wearing on Players Only, but we got to teach Dave about some style. What kind of style tips do you have for him? Because he wears wrinkled plaid shirts.
Yeah, and I be seeing him on TV. And, you know, he be wrinkled up. He don't really got a lot of swag to him. But I think that's learned, though. And then he was kind of taught to, you know, blue jacket, khakis, you know what I mean? So, you know, but he do need to iron it because I be looking and he be wrinkled. And we got people right here that could press his stuff out and stuff. But maybe when I see him and he's here, I could give him a few pointers because, you know, Cali people dress the best, as y'all can know, y'all in L.A., but I'm Northern Cal, but it's just a different type of swag in Cali, so I'll get him right.
Yeah, okay, so we just got to teach him the Cali lifestyle. He's from Pittsburgh, you know. Oh, we just shaking our heads
zero,
at that.
Zero swag in Pittsburgh. It's cold. All you do is wear hoodies and sweatshirts and, you know, everybody covering theyself up. Yeah, see, Cali, sunny all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so speaking of from Cali, we got San Jose State against Hawaii tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking about that game? What's your prediction?
Well, you know, I'm a homer. You know what I mean? So I got to go with my boys from San Jose State. We're going to go out to Hawaii. We've been struggling a little bit, but we're going to go out there. We're going to get our second win, and we're going to come back home on a long, good plane ride, eating good food, having jokes, playing cards, all that good stuff, and then, you know, hopefully get number three the next week.
Okay, so we're going to go to Hawaii and steal that win. It's, you know, they're saying that Hawaii is winning 34-17. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, people say a lot of stuff, you know, just like we had a guy on the show today that was drinking a little bit. I think his name is D'Angelo Williams, saying that, you know, J.J. Watt's not a Hall of Famer. So people say a lot of crazy stuff. So I just think this is just another one of those times that people saying crazy stuff. San Jose State gets the W.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when the camera gets in front of people, we just don't know what happens.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of people that want the headlines. You know, they say, you know, TV and media people, you know, you got to create some headlines. He did that today. So he got his job done today, well done today, and he stirred up the world a little bit, but he's crazy. But San Jose State's going to come out with the win, and J.J. Watt is definitely a Hall of Famer.
Okay, so those are the two takeaways from today. Now moving, it's Friday the 13th. Hopefully nothing too crazy has happened to you other than the fact that D'Angelo said that J.J. Watt's not a Hall of Famer. We'll have to work on that. That's probably a Friday the 13th kind of mistake. Yeah. But now that we're getting close to Halloween, what's your favorite Halloween costume?
My favorite Halloween costume of all time when I was a little kid was probably a football player. You know what I mean? You know, when you're a little kid, you watch football, everybody want to put on their uniform, go run around with their helmet on and be a football player. But this year, my kids are really into WWE. So one of my sons is John Cena. Another one of my sons
is D'Angelo Williams.
No. You're listening to David.
Good stuff, sideline reporter Savvy. Look forward to your next report there from the sidelines of life. Now it's time for the main event, everybody. The Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Another one.
Woo! Yeah. I tried to fill in for Handsome there. I don't know what his phrase is.
It's like, woo!
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! There we are. Oh. Cheerio! Boom. Here we go. Baltimore, Minnesota, Purple Bowl. Remember when they both wore purple against each other in Baltimore about 3 years ago? It was a real eyesore.
I am not a purple person.
I don't mind it. On the Vikings,
royal.
All right.
Not my thing.
Should everybody be red and blue?
No, I just, when you are the sage when it comes to all things uniform. But if you give me the worst possible uniform matchup, I'll give you these two teams.
Really? Yeah. This is the number one worst.
White and purple and purple and white. Like, that's, to me, no thank you. Not.
You know what the actual answer is, even though I like some of the uniforms? It's when you have two shades of the same color against each other. When you have the Cardinals, they a couple of years ago wore their red jerseys and red pants, and the Chiefs paid them a visit, and they had their red jerseys and red hats on, and their two shades of red. It was the worst thing I'd seen.
They both wore red tops?
No, I'm sorry. The Chiefs wore their red pants
with their white top, right.
And it was just, you know?
And that's what this will be, unless the Ravens go with their all blacks, which is probably what's going to happen. The Vikes will probably wear white at home.
That's right. The Ravens can wear their black drawers.
I like their black drawers.
Do you? No.
I do.
No, those look like jazzercise pants, especially the socks.
I like black. I think the white pants should be just, ugh, let's scare me.
I think whites. For the like Ravens, it's certain uniforms, it's nice when the uniform suits the identity of a team. And when the Ravens go white jersey, white pants, they seem formidable to me.
Formidable.
Well, listen, I've gone head to head with him on many occasions.
Which, not to get too far off track, sorry, Emma. I always feel like I have to look at you when I say these things.
I appreciate the apologies.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of that Mavericks Hawks game last night. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta Hawks have the worst uniforms in all of sport right now.
They're trying to be cute.
No.
Florida.
No.
That alligator uniform.
Did you notice what the Hawks are? I did not.
Neon.
No, it's a series of triangles. It's a dark gray triangle and a light gray triangle. The entire pattern is this. So when it's a wide shot, you don't see it.
Oh, I didn't see these.
Yes, so
these are new uniforms.
These are new, and then it has the neon on it as well. There is nothing reminiscent of a Hawk anywhere in there. There is no tie to the city with these colors. There is no tie to the mascot with these colors or this.
You're not allowed. I know people do it, and they've gotten away with it, but that ends now. That gravy train
stops.
That
ends now.
Well, or at least the day that the four commissioners put their heads together and do the right thing and finally and properly name me the uniform monitor for all of sports. I was hoping for a round of
or at least horns. Years.
Yeah, right. All right, well, that's as good as I'll get. But yes, of course, and the T-Wolves have new uniforms too, and they look good on their own. They look a little UConn-y, but really, when you see them play the Dallas Mavericks, you'll realize that they've aired. They should have done – they have – a navy blue, and then they have royal blue. Go navy blue and powder blue, like the Toronto Argonauts did many moons ago. That's a nice look. All right, let's get to the games. I said Baltimore and Minnesota. Emma VP, tell us about this one.
All right, this is soap opera week.
Ooh.
This episode is called Laquan Life to Live.
Very nice.
Xavier Rhodes takes it upon himself to stage an intervention for Joe Flacco and Mike Wallace, explaining that while he does enjoy being their middleman, it's not healthy for building trust. When Harbaugh gets the official warning that his team only has 2 minutes left to live, he asks Justin Tucker to perform the ceremonial onside kick. Laquan Treadwell accuses Brandon Carr of being a stalker.
Emma, it is hands down, bar none, your greatest effort yet.
Thanks,
that,
money.
That was as good as you have ever done.
Very good.
Appreciate it.
I am inclined to agree, except her reimagining of when Colleen Wolfe met John Gonzalez in the Eagles locker room. That's yes. on a different level.
Different category.
Right. You're right. Okay. Let's start with you, Money, since you seem so passionate about what you just heard there. Ravens, Vikings, choose.
Vikings.
Bang!
Wow, to the gut.
Yeah.
The Ravens. Oh, it's a gut shot.
Here's the thing. If the Steelers win against Cincinnati and the Ravens lose, I know not mathematically true, but this division in mid-October is going to be pretty close to being done. The Steelers are going to have full control of this division. The Ravens kind of have to keep up here. They need to go in there and win. And this just happens to feel, anecdotally, this is one of those teams that we've talked about, like the Dolphins. When the Dolphins, when you expect them to lose a game, they win it, and vice versa. The Ravens, this just has the vibe to me of them going up there and taking care of business against Case Keenum. Feel-good story, rooting for Teddy Bridgewater and all that. But the Vikings have a great defense. Everybody loves to talk about Mike Zimmer, but guess what?
Great defense.
So do the Ravens.
Yes. And what happened to that defense last week when it faced another? When they're off, that, you know, it's the yin and the yang, right? The offense and the defense go together. So when the Ravens' offense has faced a good defense, they can't do anything, and the defense gets worn down, and that's what happened last week.
I know, but Jerick McKinnon's going to do it to him. Stephon Diggs is hobbled. Where are they getting their points?
I mean, think about – I mean, we had Mitchell Trubisky. You can stack the box 9 deep if you want, 10 deep, my God, to try to slow down Jordan Howard, and they still couldn't because they wore down, you know, because Joe Flacco was so bad against what's a pretty good Bears defense, not nearly as good as this Vikings defense. They don't have a running. They don't even have a Jordan Howard. You know what I mean? Like their running game, there's issues there. I don't know how they do it. And seeing, you know, the struggles they had against the Bears, against the Steelers, against the Jacksonville defense. Granted, that was over the pond, and that was just a mess of a game. But those are good defenses, and the offense couldn't do anything, and the defense eventually wore down.
In other words, this is, do not anticipate a 40-38 final score in this one either way.
Like
Cindy,
4-8.
Yeah, something like
that. Right.
40.
Well done.
Right. So I think that – ultimately, the defense, both defenses are really good. The Ravens defense is a little underrated as how good they are against the run. But you've got no Stephon Diggs, so kind of readjust your estimation for fantasy of who's getting that volume. So it's Rudolph or Thielen that may not play if Diggs doesn't play. But to me, if Diggs doesn't play, that just means the whole score gets shifted down even more. And it's dominant defense. And Case Keenum's played well. The ability for him to create plays on the ground with his legs is actually something I didn't anticipate his ability to be so efficient in that game. That just changes it a little bit.
By the way, quick fantasy detour here. Laquon Treadwell a guy to go pick up now? If you know Stephon Diggs is out.
I just like Thielen so much.
He gets so many targets, and
Kyle Rudolph is the, and I think those are your
I think
two.
It's Rudolph and Thielen. I'm not on the Laquon Treadwell. I mean, he's great for the write-up, but I don't know if he's going to be, as far as the game script goes, I don't know if it's going to be a Laquon Treadwell game script.
Well, at least he's out there.
Yeah.
Kind of have a low-grade enthusiasm for Treadwell. I'm surprised that he hasn't. He came into camp a year ago, and apparently
there was excitement abound, dominated the SEC.
Well, but then there was some attitude stuff you heard behind the scenes.
They said it drops.
But, yeah, I made a nifty catch last week.
Yep.
What that's worth. All right, next up, it's the Jets, it's the Dolphins in South Beach. Tell us all about it, Emma VP.
Oh. All right, this episode is called The Bowls and the Beautiful.
Ah.
On a mission to dispel the slanderous preseason rumors of being destined for misery, Todd Bowles' Jets bring the figurative heat to Miami, as it's already quite warm down there. Cutler calls Leonard Williams a homewrecker when the crowd ups and leaves after he's caught in a sack.
Ah.
Josh McCown calls things off with curse at the last second when he realizes Matt Forte is the better option.
I like the dig that the heat's in Miami because it's already there. I like the
that was because it's already
levels.
Hot there.
Two levels.
Right.
Yes. All right. Cindy Freeland, Jets, Dolphins. Choose.
Can I do an if then here?
Nope. Choose.
All right. So currently, right now, I have Dolphins.
All right. And why? And what's your if then? Go ahead.
Devontae Parker.
Okay.
If
that's going to swing the game?
Yes. It's very close right now in my projections. If Devontae Parker plays, that allows them to open up their playbook and have more options on their offense. Last week, they won because their defense is dominant and doing a really great job, but they won because basically their defense made up for the fact that they were very vanilla on offense.
I'm just throwing that at you conditionally because either way, the Dolphins are going to win this game.
I got the Jets.
Tell us why.
I like the Jets, and I like that pick.
Old Chad Jay Pennington. Was a real beaut.
Chad so, Pennington's a classy quarterback. Quality.
I look at it as the Jets defense has a solid front, right? You have Wilkerson. Mm-hmm. You have Leonard Williams. You can control Ajayi. Granted, they have been porous against the run. I recognize that statistically. But I just – for those of you that have the and I did this plug on the Game Theory and Money podcast, which interestingly is a plug in itself.
Mm.
If you get yourself the NFL Game Pass where you can watch film and go back and watch all and condense all these plays, boy, that Jamal Adams is something.
He's so good.
He is something. And I look at Jay Cutler versus Jamal Adams, and that guy's going to be floating back there, and I think he's going to take one to the house, and that's going
to
end up being the difference in this game.
Pick six prediction. I like it. Remember that one, MVP, because if that happens, that'll deserve special attention. I agree with you about Jamal Adams. Of course, Money, I know you're a huge college football enthusiast, so you knew about Jamal Adams coming in. I said that would be the biggest mistake. And I know Trubisky has people in Chicago getting excited and everything. I still say what I said at the draft and ever since. 10 years from now, that will be the Bears will still be shaking their man. What were we thinking? Why did we let this generational talent go by in favor of Mitchell Trubisky?
Yeah.
You know?
And hopefully it won't happen for the Browns because they're already going to wear it for trading number 12 to Houston for Deshaun Watson. And Myles Garrett looks really good so far. And look, I think what people forget is, when you're the Browns and you take Myles Garrett number one and they point out, let's say Mitchell Trubisky becomes great and Deshaun Watson becomes, okay, well, nobody Nobody was suggesting that they take either of those two guys with the number one pick. Everybody said it was a Myles Garrett and everybody else. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
But in the case of Jamal Adams, there were a whole lot of people that said, hey, Jamal Adams might be the best player in this draft, and you're not going to take him over a pass-rushing defensive end that is a once-in-a-generational-style talent, but he's at the worst the second-best player in this draft, and he slid all the way to six inexplicably.
Meantime, the Florida teams have been very weird. Tampa should have beaten New England but didn't, then Jameis hurts his shoulder, and so that game gets sideways very quickly in Arizona. Now they have a big one coming up, but in the meantime, the Jags have been an insane roller coaster. I mean, it's weird. 1 week good, 1 week bad. 1 week good, 1 week bad. So that means that they should win this week. And then you have the Dolphins doing things that, I mean, the games that they're winning are very strange. That they won last week. I told you they were going to win that game.
You did.
And I told you that, well, I didn't tell you that they were going to beat the Chargers. But though, I mean,
and they
should have. Makes a kick. I know they shouldn't have. But it also is one of those things, and we talked about it on the podcast earlier this week with Ike, is you can ask any pro football player this, and it's probably not satisfying to fans, but these games, the players do not weigh them as heavily in September as they do the ones that are played in November and December. They all say, no matter what guy, hey, what about the Patriots? They don't look so good. And if you're talking to a Patriot or an ex-Patriot, they say, what do we wear? It's week five.
Yeah,
it's week
it's
six. We don't worry about that. Belichick doesn't care about these games until, you know, it's all building towards something if you're smart. So given that, the Dolphins maybe are one of those teams where they might get better and better. They have not been great, and they continue to win games, and maybe as Cutler spends a little bit more
Especially their schedule, right? So they lose their first week with the Hurricane. They have to come to L.A.
brutal,
for 10 days.
Right.
Then they got to go to New York. Then they go to London. You know, it's not easy.
Well, then some of their players, I mean, they've had no break, and then some of their players go up to New York, which, by the way, yes, it's in the same time zone, but that's still traveling during the week. A lot of players this week have gone to New York for the owners' meetings, but those type of things are interesting to me, especially when you see how flat their offense has been in terms of different looks. They haven't been able to execute different looks. They haven't been able to try different looks. So luckily, J.H.I. started working for them, and that was an interesting development, but it's
I guess then if you buy the Adam Gase is the offensive genius.
He's 12-4 in the past 16 games.
All right. And then I think this is the Ajayi game.
I'm going Jets, and I'm sticking to it.
Let's go to the AFC West and Matt Money Smith's stadium for this week. The one down there in Carson, California, nearby where we sit currently. MVP, tell us more.
Broncos Chargers. This episode is called Jamal, My Children. Reborn and recharged, Melvin Gordon picks up where he left off, delivering the most shocking twist of the season, stopping even Von Miller in his tracks. Jealous of Simeon's success, Bosa smacks the QB's ball across the laces in broad daylight, leading to an all-out brawl. Jamal Charles eavesdrops on Vance's conversation with McCoy to find out for himself if he's getting played.
He slaps his ball across the laces.
Well done.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
All right, Matt Money Smith, Broncos, Chargers. Well, we know who you're going to choose. It's not fun to do. Oh, you know what? It's more fun to pepper him with the red challenge flag if you disagree. Broncos, Chargers, voice of the Chargers.
Chargers. Really?
You're going to –
Come on, Cynthia.
What do you do? You stink, Freeland, teasing us like that. Why so, Cindy? Why do you think the Broncos get off to schneid here?
Broncos' problem in the past two games has been their run game, and the Chargers are most vulnerable to the run in the NFL.
All right.
They do give up more rushing yards per game than any other
team. Like 160.
Good, simple analysis
but
there.
But I did bring this up. The Giants are terrible against the run as well, and they managed to make that offense one-dimensional. Jamal Charles couldn't run it. So, you know, I'll say with the Chargers, their issues in the linebacking core, they really miss Denzel Perriman. Their linebackers are having issues tackling runners. But if you look half-to-half, they're able they do get stronger against the run in the second half. Ever since that Philadelphia game when LeGarrette Blount just ran it down their throat for it wasn't even a 4 minute, it was a 6 minute drill. They've kind of, that was their tipping point, and they've been a lot better, especially in the second half. So you're starting to see them rotate their defensive tackles a little more. In addition to Mebane and Legit, who are their starters, you get a lot more Darius Filon, Damian Square in there, and that's helping slow that run down.
How far is Perriman away from returning?
He was designated, so he cannot come back until Jacksonville. Okay. So he'll miss this week, next week, and then it works out where they get the bye, and then he'll be back. But, man, do they miss him because he's back at practice, and he's just – like, they had to let go of Nigel Harris, who was a super talented linebacker. He's just small. He probably weighs 220 pounds, and they can't have any more of that. They can't activate him because when he gets out there, Jatavis Brown isn't that big. You know, their backers aren't big guys, and that's where the tackling issues come from.
Everybody – I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Damashek picked the Chargers to win the division in August, and they have a chance to still do it, Cindy. I don't know if you're paying attention.
Well, wait. It's only been 6 weeks, so of course they still have a chance.
Let me just say something. At the time of this recording, we don't know who wins the Thursday night game. So if it's Friday and you're laughing now at me, but the Raiders, backs to the wall, up there in the East Bay, they have no shot at winning the division at best.
Their season is over.
Not over. I think they could still, you know.
It's over.
Who knows? They might. Who knows? They get red hot and do whatever and get a wild card. But they're not winning the division if they lose to the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football.
I don't know if anybody else is winning the division if the Chiefs win that game.
Maybe true. But the Chargers, here's what they have to do.
I don't think it's possible. Like,
they're at home now with the Broncos this week. Then they play up in Foxborough against the Patriots, then the bye. If they win this game, which is still a big if, obviously, but even if they split these next 2 weeks here, I think they then would be 3-5 going into their bye. But what if it's not like the Patriots are world beaters? It's not an impossibility. What does Brady not like when it is a severe pass rush like that? When you can rush just four and drop everybody else. Well, that's what the Chargers are going to be able to do next week. But before we get ahead of that one,
just quickly on that point, you know, when you map out who you think your division winner is going to be, I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that, even while mapping out a 10-6 season or whatever it may be, that thought they were going to be any better than 5-3 based on this early schedule. Traveling to New York, a team that was 11-5, traveling to Oakland, traveling to Foxborough, getting the Chiefs, getting, you know, the Broncos on a Monday night to open up the season. I looked at it as 4-4. Now they go 0-4. The Dolphins game is the big one. That's the one that really wrecks this whole thing, because they should be 3-3. It was a missed field goal that was very makeable, but whatever. So they're 2-4. If they end up going 4-0 in the second quarter of the season, when it looked like that was like the 1-3 month, maybe following a 3-1 month, the way it worked out, if you were being real honest with yourself, they're kind of right back to what I think was baseline going into the season.
I'm with you.
Because the back end of the schedule is very favorable for them. Their home games are against those, you know, they get those last place teams from last year. They get the Bills, they get the Browns, they get the Jaguars. Now, granted, some of those teams are better than before, but that's kind of the way the schedule laid out. It is an interesting little deal.
Call it self-validation, but they're coming together. And, of course, like you say, 3-3. They could be 4-2 as well as what else they could be. So, all right. MVP, this is our last game. It's not the Steelers and the Bungles.
It's not. I couldn't think of a good soap opera.
That's why we didn't do Steelers, Bungles.
Well, we had
that works for me.
We did have it on the rundown, Shaq. We were going to talk about it in a different point. Remember, I had the radio call and everything.
Hear that real quick. We do have to hear it. Here we go. Oh, I thought that was going to be the thing that we heard at the very top of the show. I'd like to hear my favorite play in the history of football, nay, all of sports. Nay, the greatest moment of my life, when Vontaze Burfict intercepted the ball in the wild card round. After vicious assaults committed against a handful of Steelers over the preceding 58 and a half minutes, Vontaze Burfict intercepts the pass and gets up and runs off the field, finger wagging, with six of his teammates trailing behind. Never mind that it wasn't a delay game penalty. I still don't know why it wasn't. But wagging his finger, celebrating, and then the Steelers come back and
win.
Let's hear what the radio call on that sounds like.
1:43 on the clock. 1st and 10, Pittsburgh, down by a point. Landry Jones back to throw from his 5 over the middle. Perfect!
Yeah!
Intercepts
yeah!
it! Vontaze Burfict comes away with a football. Yeah! The Bengals have the ball with 1 minute and 36 seconds to go.
Yeah!
Vontaze Burfict sprinting toward the locker room. He has run inside the locker room, which makes no sense.
Yeah!
He better come back out before there's a penalty flag.
Who is the color guy? Who is the color guy?
Yeah! Jones. I don't know what his name is.
I don't know who he is. Yeah!
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Locker room. Yeah.
Locker room.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is the
best.
That
is great.
Is that sweet or what? I love it.
Leave you. I have to leave you.
That is great.
Cindy. I know. All right, so choose it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait. Go ahead. You go. You go. It'll be me and money. We got it. We'll take it home from here.
I mean.
I do fear the Bungles, money. I'm not going to jive you. I do fear what might happen this Sunday. But I think the Steelers have gotten past the worst parts of the.
I'm with you. I doubted
them last week. Self-imposed melodrama.
Just like you, Dave Damashek, last week, I doubted them at Arrowhead, one of the most formidable opposing team visiting spots in all the NFL. And we were wrong. I'm not going to say I was wrong. We were wrong last week.
You're right. I deserve that. A lot of people – I did notice I was getting a lot of credit from people. Like, oh, you called that one, Dave. I called that the Steelers would show up. I didn't call that they were going to win the game. Point of note. See? No jive from Damashek. I tell the truth.
I take the Steelers.
They
figured it out. You know what they figured out?
I think that's right.
Antonio Brown, Lev Bell, let's go.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and we really did, Ike did a great, I've tweeted it out and put it elsewhere on digital platforms on my Facebook and everywhere else, but Ike really broke down the defense. Well, everybody's caught up in this melodrama on offense, whether it's Martavis Bryant. Oh, my, by the way, a talented young receiver has a chip on his shoulder because he wants the ball more.
Never heard of it.
My heavens, how will the Steelers ever overcome that? Or any other pro football team? I'm not worried about that, but very quietly, I know the fourth quarter was shoddy stuff, but that defense, I mean, piece for piece, just go through it. Guys, go through everybody that they're throwing out there.
Brought
right
it
now.
Up 2 weeks ago, I mean, when I was horribly wrong in my prediction of their 2-touchdown victory over the Jags, when I said, this defense is not getting the respect it deserves. Thanks a lot, Steelers. They go on to give up, what, 65 points to the Jaguars at home.
Yeah, that wasn't.
So it's hard for me to buy in because the last time you and I had this very discussion and I preached that this might be one of the more underrated defenses in the league, the Jags made fools of them and me.
But that, I mean, you know, now they have the old man 92, nice and fresh, doing what he did at the end of the game in Arrowhead. But Dupree and TJ Ward and Shazier in the middle there.
You know who the color guy was? MVP just told me. Dave Lapham. Longtime O lineman for the Bengals. Yeah! Yeah!
I love that. I can't listen to that enough.
It's the best.
I need a clip of that so I can just put it out everywhere, and I'm going to tweet it out every half hour until the game kicks off. And I also have to
great
accompany
call.
It with video of Vontez running off wagging that figure. It was the most perfect moment in Bengals history. All right, let's round it out here, MVP, with the big game of the week. Super Bowl 51 rematch. Tell us more.
All right. Falcons-Patriots. The episode is called The Chung and the Restless. Two rivals, the flashy new money Falcons of the South and the diamond tycoon Patriots of the East, meet again at the most high profile event of the season to determine who's back on top. Matt Ryan sets out to even the score, concocting a scheme to expose the Pats defense for what it really is. Patrick Chung continuously deflects when asked about his role in the organized takedown of Devontae Freeman.
Now, money.
Chung and the Restless, best title, I believe.
Oh,
I think best
well, that's
title.
What I was just going to mention, to
yeah.
you, money, because when we looked at these yesterday, MVP had it labeled Dynasty. And I said, well, that's not bringing it home. The other three are so strong. And she said, yeah, but Dynasty works better for the Patriots. And I said, I get
She's
it.
Right. She's right.
I get it, but Chung and the Restless, the funny, you know.
Yeah.
It's the pun, right?
Much better.
I'm glad I went with that one.
I'm a sucker for
and
a pun.
And you wouldn't have worked that Chung line in last if
yes.
we wouldn't have done Chung and the Restless, and that's great. What was it? The takedown of Devontae
The
Freeman.
Organized takedown.
I love it. That was great. See, MVP?
You're
there's
a good
room.
Coach.
There's room for punch-up here and there. You
Thank
can be
you.
The head writer. MVP, by the way, was suspended briefly the other day.
On the show?
From the head writer role. Yeah. Well, she sassed me on Twitter, and I didn't care for it, so she was suspended.
Dave said that Grease 2 is better than Grease, mm-hmm. and I took a bit of offense to that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a Skip Bayless-like look-at-me statement.
Oh, it is.
Yes,
Agreed.
It is. That's exactly what
no,
it is.
No, it is not.
Yes,
I could listen, my sister Debbie will support this stance. And
congratulations, and, you've infected your sister's
And
brain.
Your dear friend Cousin Sal will also agree with that.
Come on.
What?
Come on.
Come on, what?
Beauty
he
school
likes,
dropout.
He
really?
Likes the
beauty
new
school. That's all I got to say is beauty school dropout, and that's it. It's over.
It's a good song.
Good song.
So's back to school again.
Come on, man.
He's a cool rider.
Beauty school dropout.
All right, who do you like
Come
better?
On.
Who do you want to hang out with, the beauty school dropout or the cool rider? I think you know the answer. All right, And by the way, Sal cares about his doo-wop music. He's a Huey Lewis guy. I think so. All right.
Love Huey. I think we had, what was it, the 30th anniversary of sports, I believe, was just like a month ago. The greatest Huey record ever. All right, fine. You want to throw it? Throw it. I'm taking the Falcons.
Falcons, Patriots, choose.
Taking the Falcons.
Money says the Falcons.
I'm taking them.
Bang!
Right at
Listen, not what am I going to do? Pick against the Patriots? How many times do they have to prove people wrong here already?
They already have two losses at Foxborough, right?
I know.
So there's that. If you know, the Falcons' last two losses, yes, they have not looked good. But they've come against what we now, and I think we have enough of a sample size, right, to feel good about saying, hey, that Bills defense is really good. Mm-hmm. It's you know, the number one scoring defense in the league through four games because they had their bye. And the Dolphins defense is one of the best run defenses around. You know, they shut down Melvin Gordon. They shut down Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman this last week. So you feel kind of good about their losses in terms of the defenses they had to face. Now, contrast that with the worst defense in all of football, in yards, in third down conversions, in however many categories, big plays, just the list goes on and on and on. And you tell me that a team with Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman gets to go up against that defense with that chip. I mean, like, it doesn't matter. I don't care about the whole chip on their shoulder and avenge me, boys, you know, for what happened in Super Bowl 51. I just think the defense stinks.
I don't care. I agree. I don't know what fixes. Everybody, the assumption, Belichick will figure it out. But look at what he has. Look at the personnel. What's he supposed to do? That is a legitimate problem that's not going to suddenly vanish. However, I think that the Patriots are still obviously going to win that division. I still think they are going to be one of the top two seeds. They're still 4-2 for as bad as they've been. And the fact that I could certainly make a strong count. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to convince anybody that they could be 2-4 right now. And imagine if they were 2-4 right now. What if the Patriots were 2-4 right now?
Jameis throws that touchdown pass. If ASJ, and I still don't understand what the heck happened on that play with Austin Seferian Jenkins last week. I just don't get it. If all of those things break their way, you're right.
Brady doesn't hit Brandon Cooks on the
– Deshaun Watson. Yeah, exactly. Brandon Cooks in the Houston Texans game. I mean, it's crazy how things have worked out.
I know. But, of course, just like I said earlier in the show, I don't know. The Rams, call me a curmudgeon or whatever else, or a snob.
Makes sense.
Do it for a little bit more than a month. Patriots have done it for 15 years. I'm now jumping off that bandwagon in favor of the Falcons, who, as you point out, I don't care what defense they've been playing, they have not looked good of late. And I think this is a very big game for them. If they drop this one and they go to 3-3 in that division,
which gets you last place, by the way,
well,
in the AFC.
Right, what if the Saints go up and win their game in Lambeau this week? The Falcons could really, by the time their game kicks off, they could really be in the locker room talking about, wow, we're really in trouble if we fall to 3-3. If the Saints win and the Panthers win, they're going to be behind the eight ball. Falcons.
I don't disagree.
But that doesn't mean that they're going to win. The thing that surprises me to this point isn't the regression of the offense. It felt like one of those things that it was a special standalone year and they would drop off a little bit. They couldn't maintain that level going forward. But the defense, what the defense I thought was really going to be something.
They're not creating turnovers. You know, I think that's the big issue.
So much speed out there. I don't get it.
They're not, you know, I think we all assume that they would get to the quarterback like they did last year. I don't know if they led the league in sacks, but I think they were darn close if they didn't lead the league in sacks. And that's the biggest issue. They're not getting to the quarterback like they did.
Well, when Vic Beasley's right, then that'll change. But in the time being, it's been underwhelming stuff. MVP. How long was this show? You said it was long?
Yeah. It's probably going to be about 80 minutes.
Oh.
Oh, geez.
That's a little. Can we edit that?
Yeah.
Let's edit. Let's just trim it up.
What should we do, MVP?
Trim the fat.
Do you want to cut the stuff with Spaghetti's worst fans and save it for another show?
I think we should keep it.
All right. I like that. I mean,
That was really fun.
I like that.
I think 20% less me is the way to go. Let's just across the board, 20%.
All agree on that.
Yeah.
Amen. Matt Money Smith, have a great time this weekend calling the Chargers action as always. You can track it down. What is the best way to listen to you if you're a Chargers fan?
I think they put the broadcast up at Chargers.com.
Oh, they do.
Yes, okay. I do believe you can listen to the broadcast there.
everything. I had game theory and money,
all that stuff.
Fantasy, Petros and money, Cindy Freeland, the morning pregame show.
Game day morning.
Game day morning. Why can't I remember that? And Thursday Night Football and game theory and money. There are two plugs for you. And NFL picking coming at you on Saturday. Make sure you tune in. Four ways to watch it.
And?
Four times to watch it. 9 a.m., 2 p.m., 11 p.m., then Sunday at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll talk to you after week 7. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Ah, I missed it.